Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors defeated the Portland Trailblazers in their second straight scrimmage win by a score of 110-104. This was a hilariously competitive scrimmage. I know it's just a scrimmage, but they did not treat it like one. There was a lot of trash talk going back and forth. And honestly, just a lot of great basketball being played. Very entertaining game that was competitive, even with the third stringers coming in. But before I go on to recap this thrilling scrimmage, and I really mean thrilling, I got to tell you that, look, lately we've all been craving buckets. No, we don't just mean the ones on the court. We mean the fried chicken kind. So we did some thinking. Basketball has hot dogs. Football has nachos. And now that basketball is back, it only makes sense to name Kentucky Fried Chickens its official food. Listen, basketball players make buckets all the time. KFC makes buckets all the time. And theirs are filled with fried chicken, like Famous Original Recipe or Crispy Popcorn Chicken or even Juicy Tender. So that settles it, KFC. The official food of basketball, order at KFC.ca and get it before tip-off. So, this really entertaining scrimmage, it was fun. It was really fun. I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm just like, I'm missing Raptors basketball too much. It's been too long. But no, I mean, it was a really, really fun game. And really, the game was fun because, you know, it got really feisty. Like, it you know, midway through the second quarter, off a, you know, innocent play where, you know, Yusuf Nurkic, really happy he's back, by the way. That was a horrific foot injury he had. He broke his leg. And it's good to see him back. And honestly, dominating, playing really well. But Nurkic and Serge Ibaka got mixed up underneath the basket off a rebound. Again, regular stuff. You know, oh man, it's just an elbow here and here. Like, no big deal. Serge slaps away Nurkic slaps away Serge. And the two of them kind of go face to face a little bit and they get pulled apart. You know, again, this is, feels like Serge is in a lot of these. Although I think also Nurkic, to his credit, is also a bit of an agitator. I think he really does relish the physical kind of contact and the physical play. He's a bit of a bully himself. But this really got this game going. Like, you know, it was a regular scrimmage up until this point. You know, like, yeah, whatever. You know, teams are trying on new sets. The Raptors, you know, Nick Nurse went to his jumbo lineup, this time with Fred VanVleet in as the two guard, alongside Siakam, Ibaka, and Marcus Gasol. That man OG was coming off the bench, and you know, they were just trying out stuff at first, but as soon as this little exchange happened, you know, I think at first it was the Blazers who really got it going. I think the Blazers bench were really, really into this game. You know, they really cheered it on. And I think Nurkic himself really took it, you know, upon himself to go at Serge in a couple of possessions, you know, right after that little skirmish. You know, he gets the ball in the post, kind of, you know, gets a shoulder, dips it into Serge's chest, finishes the layup. And then on the other end, you know, Pascal gets blocked by Mario Hezonja, which, yeah, you know, it's unfortunate, but even LeBron got blocked by Mario Hezonja, so I'm just going to overlook that for a second. But he, you know, the block gets recorded by Hezonja. There's a loose ball on the baseline, and Nurkic dives out of bounds and throws the ball, deflects the ball off Serge's leg right in front of the Blazers bench, and they are going crazy. Like, this is their championship. This is their championship, okay? Not winning 30 games is their championship this year, but just really, this is their championship, okay? And yeah, like, it was just competitive from that point on. Like, there were a couple of reporters in the bubble at this game, guys like Joe Varden, the Blazers also a PR person, and I forget her handle. But yeah, like, they were all reporting about how there was just a lot of trash talk going on back and forth. You can hear it in the broadcast too, which is kind of really nice, actually. I mean, this is what we've all wanted for a long time, is just to hear the trash talk that's actually at NBA games. I think that's probably half the reason why people pay thousands of dollars to go to courtside seats, is to sort of hear that trash talk and the banter. But yeah, apparently there was a lot of trash going, you know, going back and forth. And honestly, it was just a competitive game. Like, the Blazers made a bit of a run. Nurkic, you know, was sort of really stepping up defensively, blocking shots. The Raptors were, you know, getting shots blocked at the rim, stuff like that. Blazers took a lead. Then the Raptors came storming back in. They hit a bunch of threes. Kyle hit a trail three. Pascal was, you know, doing his Pascal stuff, you know. And the Raptors sort of took the lead themselves. Serge himself actually responded really strongly to Nurkic by scoring himself as well. In that third quarter there, Serge Ibaka had, I think, 11 points of his 19 in the third quarter, including two threes, one of which was like a 30-footer. I mean, Serge's improvements this year, by the way, has just been really mesmerizing for a guy who's supposed to be in his decline in his 11th season, but instead is having a career year. And so it became this really, really competitive game. And yeah, I mean, you know, the Raptors kind of took the lead. You know, eventually the starters came off. Okay, that's no problem. The third quarter, then you got some bench units going in there. The Raptors bench better than the Blazers bench, definitely. So the Raptors continued to build their lead. You know, Matt Thomas caught fire. He had 16 points off the bench, including four threes, really helping to extend that lead. Terrence Davis comes into the game. You know, immediately hits two threes back to back to give the Raptors more of a cushion. And then, you know, eventually even the second unit guys get filtered off, all right? No more Matt Thomas, no more Terrence Davis. We're going to go with no point guards, basically, because, you know, the Raptors really don't have a third-string point guard. Pat McCaw, you know, remains out for a second straight game with an undisclosed injury. But, yeah, you got Stanley Johnson running point. You got Paul Watson, the two-way guy. You know, out there as sort of a shooting guard kind of situation. DeJuan Hernandez is sharing the floor with Chris Boucher. I forget who the fifth guy was. Oh, Malcolm Miller was out there too. So we're talking about really, really, you know, deep 905 type lineups. And yet it was still competitive. It got so competitive. You know, the Blazers are trapping full court as if they were the Raptors. And they were trying to, and they're threatening maybe at times to try to come back and do something. And it made for a really exciting finish. Like, you got Paul Watson off a bit of a broken play. The Raptors, I think, only up one possession. Paul Watson collects the ball, takes down in the middle of the lane, throws down this big, huge dunk. I'm not going to say it was DeMar versus the Bucks in Game 6, 2017. But, you know, Paul Watson, definitely a guy who has a lot of athleticism. He can shoot the three as well, although he didn't hit any today. But he had a dunk to sort of kind of sealed it for the Raptors. And, of course, Stanley himself. I know Stanley gets a lot of shit on here. And Stanley does some things like tonight where he hit, you know, shot back-to-back air balls, forced the issue and drove into traffic. He loves doing that for some reason and turned it over. There were times where it looked pretty bad. But even Stanley, I got to give Stanley his props because, you know, Stanley was actually instrumental in closing this game out. Yes, I know that sounds ridiculous, but it was a contested game. The Blazers really wanted it. And he was basically being point guard. And so you needed someone. Well, you basically needed Stanley to handle the ball securely because otherwise, you know, no one else is going to do it, right? Paul Watson, not a handler. Malcolm Miller, definitely not a handler. And then you got two bigs. So you needed Stanley to play point guard. And to Stanley's credit, he beat the full court traps. He handled them well. He didn't turn the ball over there. He got fouled. He hit two free throws to sort of ice the game. He had a transition and one, you know, off a pass that was led by a fast break led by Chris Boucher. Again, this is real weird, but, you know, the Raptors had to go out and close this game. So I think even, you know, Stanley could feel happy about the way he performed tonight. So on the whole, this was just a really exciting scrimmage. Again, lots of trash talk. I wish you could hear more clearly what they were saying, but evidently there was a lot being exchanged. And, you know, it's just great to have sort of this type of competitiveness just to get your, I don't know, just to get your sense of competition back. You know what I mean? Like, look, the first win against Houston, whatever. You're playing like Pinball Clemens as the backup point guard for the Rockets. Like, it's, you know, whatever. That was a walk in the park as compared to this. This one was really, everyone had to, you know, really lock in and compete. And I thought the Raptors did a really good job of it. So, fun win. Again, a lot of people can sort of hang their heads high. In terms of sort of how everyone did, because everyone did well, I think I'm just going to go through the whole roster. I'll start with Pascal. So he had 18 points, 5 of 13 shooting, 3 of 9 from 3. A couple open ones he missed. But, you know, I think Pascal, especially since he hasn't shot the ball for 3 months, probably needs a little bit more time than everyone else to sort of really recalibrate and find his form. Now, of course, it's worrisome because you know, like, damn, like, he's the number one guy. Like, you need him to score. But at the same time, you know, I know you can, I trust that he's putting in the work. I'm sure he's working extra to try to get that 3-point shot, you know, down the way it was early in the season. But the way Pascal can attack the basket, some really impressive drives, and, you know, 6 free throw attempts. You know, the Blazers don't really have a guy to guard him. Siakam was able to, especially, you know, when he's playing that big lineup, he's sort of playing three. And so, yeah, you know, the three man for the Blazers is Carmelo Anthony. So, yeah, I think Pascal should be able to score on Carmelo, you know, 15-year vet Carmelo Anthony, who never really played defense in his career anyway. Yeah, I think Pascal was able to score on him, and he did obviously do that. I think with Pascal, it's just, yeah, getting the 3-point shot down. There's a couple of wide open looks he had. You know, there's not even much, that much to talk about there. I think the chemistry there is good. He also handled the ball a little bit more, which, you know, when you have sort of these, like, weird transition lineups where, you know, Nick Nurse was talking before the game about how after Kyle and Fred, the third point guard is basically Pascal. Like, obviously, McCaw dribbles the ball, but he's really just there to set the table. As a guy who can create, as a guy who can initiate, as a guy who can play make, Pascal was kind of more of that third string point guard than anyone else. But I do think in terms of, like, creating for others, Pascal can do a better job with that. I think that's something that he can do as the next step in his development, is making reads off of pick and roll, getting all the way to the basket with his handle or with his strength, drawing double teams, and then finding the open guy. I just think he can do a little bit more of that than he is right now. I think this year, he averaged a career high with 3.5 assists, but especially being a number one guy with the ball in his hand so much, and with the ability to handle and score and draw double teams, you kind of expect more than 3.5, and I think that's another growth in his game that he needs to make. But yeah, for the moment, no complaints. Again, 18 points, 25 minutes. Very good. Serge Ibaka, he had 19 points in 25 minutes. Serge has been super sharp. You know, obviously, I raved about Serge in the first reaction podcast of the restart, you know, in the win against Houston. He had 18 points there on 8 of 10 shooting today. Just as efficient, you know, 6-6 in the free throw line. The 3-point shooting for Serge has been super, super promising, because, you know, Serge has been a decent 3-point shooter basically for the last, like, 4 to 5 years. And, you know, it was sort of strange last year that he didn't really shoot the three well. You know, he shot under 30% for the first time in a very long time. You know, maybe that was a transition to center, and he was working more in his sort of low post scoring and a mid-range game. But this year, Serge is scoring at all three levels. Like, he's literally, he's as good as he's ever been offensively. Like, he's scoring reliably around the basket. The hook shot is very steady. You know, the mid-range pick and pop is always there for him. Especially when he runs it with Kyle. And now the threes, I mean, the threes are really impressive. Like, you know, I remember before, you know, the shutdown happened and stuff like that, when you can actually go to practice instead of just, like, Zoom calling people nowadays. We could see Serge Ibaka every time, you know, he would always be getting extra shots in. That's just the kind of guy he is. But, you know, the Raptors have this, like, 4-point line that's, like, taped down at practice in their courts at OVO Center. It's literally just a tape line that's, like, about a meter back of the regular 3-point line. And, you know, Serge is not the only guy to practice 4-point shots, but basically, yeah, Serge has been practicing those 4-point shots. And I think you saw one of those today where it was from 30 feet out, top of the floor, you know, a meter back from the actual 3-point line, and Serge cashed it. And, you know, this is just something where Serge is in such a great rhythm. I think, you know, again, as I spoke about in the last podcast, you're going to need a lot of leadership to get through this. You're going to need your guys like Kyle, to like Serge, Mark, and Fred, Pascal. Like, you know, there's a lot of vets on this team, but you need your leaders to be sharp and ready. And Serge has been absolutely that through two games. You know, he's even ready to fight, which, again, it just, I love that about Serge. I don't know why he always wants to fight so much, but yeah, Serge really set the tone. And I like that, you know, when Nurkic kind of went at him, you know, Nurkic tried to, you know, bully him a little bit. Serge didn't back down. Of course, he was not going to back down. But, you know, that he also responded not just by slapping him back, but also by, you know, in the third quarter, okay, Nurkic came out, did his little thing, got some blocks. Okay, all right, the Blazers bench is cheering. Cool, great, talking trash. All of a sudden, Serge comes back. Third quarter, 11 points of his own, including once where he faced up against Nurkic, one-on-one, jab step. Honestly, a little Melo-esque. It's actually kind of funny, but... but yeah, jab step, you know, a little bit of a handle, you know, one or two dribbles, got Nurkic sort of leaning one way, and then, you know, got inside and you know, was able to draw the shooting foul in which he hit both free throws. So Sarge is ready. He's ready to go. He's in midseason form. And again, it just speaks to him as a pro, man. Like the fact that he's, you know, the way he's playing right now, even after not playing for 4 months, it just speaks to how seriously he takes all this. And again, just a great contract year for Sarge. Mark finally got some playing time. Obviously, he didn't play that first game against Houston. No big deal. Seemed like it was a planned rest day. Today, great time to play Mark, only in the sense that, you know, not only is it a better matchup because it's not a team like Houston that only plays no centers and shoots bad threes, but it's the Blazers who start two centers for themselves. They have Nurkic and Whiteside. And so, yeah, Marc Gasol got the start. Only played the first half. He played 10 minutes. But, you know, and despite the fact that, look, he didn't make a field goal. He was 0-for-1 with an open three that he hit back iron, and that he missed a couple of free throws. I like the way he played. So Mark, you know, with the shedding of the weight, you always wonder sort of how that's going to affect this game. I think the biggest thing is that he's back to sort of being able to play a little bit more confidently in the paint. Like there was just no lift before, right? No lift whatsoever earlier in the season. He came back from Spain, you know, chugging beers, chugging a rosé, winning championships. This man had no more lift. And so, you know, when he was playing in the paint, he didn't have much lift to begin with. But, you know, you don't have that bit of lift. You don't really know if you're going to get your shot off. And so you saw him, like, take a lot of fadeaways. Because, you know, whatever. You can't use the fade. If you can't get your shot off, at least you can sort of fade away and sort of shoot a rainbow shot. That's not going to go in a lot, even if you're as skilled as you are, as Marc Gasol is. But, you know, there just wasn't any sort of interior game. You know, Mark could still hit threes, and he'd still hit 40% on his threes, but, you know, wasn't able to score inside. And today, I thought he made a marked effort to get inside and score. You know, his first play offensively, he rolls hard to the basket and tried to go in for a dunk and was fouled. First off, I don't remember Mark trying to go in for many dunks this year. And the few times he did, I think his hamstring was probably yelling at him. So that was promising to see. Another play where, you know, he demanded a post up. Sarge ended up taking the three and cashing it anyway. But I like that Mark was sort of, you know, calling for the ball and demanding a post up. Again, that just hasn't happened a lot earlier this season because he's just been limited. And then later on, Mark gets another post up, this time against Carmelo, demands the ball. The Raptors swinging around. OG, you know, gets it into the post. Mark, you know, makes a hard move, gets fouled in the post, goes to the free throw line. And then he gets fouled on a three. And so in total, he shoots 7 free throws in his 10 minutes stint. And I just like that willingness for him to actually play on the inside. I think it, you know, it's not his best move. I don't think it's something where we're going to suddenly feature Marc Gasol on the low block all the time, like he's Pau Gasol. But at the same time, I do think that having that variation in the offense, the fact that he can stretch out, shoot the ball, he can assist other people, set screens, play the pick and roll game, but also like just the threat of him actually going inside and scoring, especially against these mismatches, right? Like, look, we saw last year, like the Sixers were like, you know what, Mark's washed, all right, we're gonna put Tobias Harris on him in the post, you could try to post him up, but he's not gonna score. And honestly, they were kind of right about that. And offensively, Mark wasn't able to do much with it, and you saw sort of similarities in the other series against you know, Golden State and Milwaukee as well, where they sort of put smaller guys on Mark. You know, like Mark's going to need to be able to score in those situations. And if he has more lift, if he has more confidence in his ability to bang and a little bit more quickness inside, then that's great. So, you know, Mark got the start today, played in the two big lineup. You know, Knicks talked about the two big lineup a lot, so it's not surprising that they played it. Fred, you know, he banged his knee in the first quarter with Anthony Simons on a very harmless play. He left the game immediately. You know, he called basically, he just waved over to the bench and was like, "No, I'm coming out," straight to the, I guess, not locker room, like some sort of training area. I'm not really sure what the configurations are like at Disney. Okay. Went to the Epcot Center. Okay. And yeah. And then, you know, he didn't come back the rest of the game, but he did come back to the bench like pretty quickly and looked to be in, you know, smiling and talking to his teammates and stuff like that. So hopefully it's okay. You know, assistant coach Nate Bjorgren said at halftime, seems like he's okay. You know, not too big of a concern. And then Nick Nurse kind of said the same thing afterwards, but who knows? We'll see. Get some tests. I doubt he plays on the next scrimmage unless it's really, really nothing, but it looked to be a little bit of a knee on knee kind of thing. In any case, hopefully Fred's okay. You definitely don't want to suffer another injury with Fred on the verge of a playoffs, because that's what happened in 2018. I don't even want to revisit that. Kyle was fantastic. You know, Kyle's Kyle. Like, he's always going to be great. 13 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. A couple of turnovers. Some offensive fouls that I don't think were really offensive fouls. Kyle was great. He just continues to set the tone. You know, his shot looks sharp. He's getting to the basket. He's really, really done a great job of, driving the ball deep into the paint, touching the paint, drawing an extra defender, and then triggering kickout sequences where it's either directly to an open three-point shooter or the Raptors can swing and beat the rotations to find an open three. Again, that's such a vital part of the Raptors' offense, and, Kyle's by far the best guy at doing that. And of course, the tenacity, defensiveness. I'm sure there's a lot of trash talk going on. And if there's a lot of trash talk going on, I'm sure Kyle Lowry was participating in some of that stuff right there. But Kyle's great. You don't have to worry about Kyle. Kyle's doing Kyle stuff. In the bench. So OG came off the bench. He played 21 minutes. I was really impressed with OG. Like, I don't want to gas up a 7.6 rebound, 4 assist performance that much with 2 blocks. But I don't know. It was really good. I'm not trying to lie to you, but the 2 blocks on Melo, okay, not bad, not bad. I mean, you can slander Melo. He's a very talented offensive player, definitely a skilled player. He knows how to get a shot off. OG blocking him twice, that's noteworthy. Even with the way OG scored or in the way OG assisted, the 4 assists is what was really impressive to me, because OG was able to actually use his handle to create. And I'm not saying he suddenly turned into Jamal Crawford or Kyrie Irving, but OG had some quick crossovers, especially against guys like Zach Collins in a semi-closeout situation, a light closeout. OG was just able to cross him up, basically freeze him and go past them and get to all the way to the rim where he would either finish, which he did through Collins for an and-one, or he would draw the extra defenders, kick out, and just make a play. And look, that's the thing with OG, man. Like, he's really young, and there's more to come and more growth in his game. The Raptors, Nick talked about it briefly. He talked about how, he wants to get, obviously, Pascal in a situation where he's handling pick and rolls and setting screens and pick and rolls. And he said he wants the same thing for OG. And OG is not as skilled offensively as Pascal, not even close. But, I think the belief is there, the talent is there. And they're willing to sort of try it out. And OG showed some really, really nice plays today. Like, again, when else do you remember OG crossing some people up and actually creating something? And so I think that's impressive. I think I've seen a few of the post-practice clips and stuff like that. OG's in a lot of those drills, working and practicing on his pick and roll game in terms of coming out that screen, and making a decision whether that's to pull up for three or, drive to the mid-range area and get a pull up there or drive all the way through and kick out to the corner and then trigger swing. So there's variations in the drills, but OG's in a main participant in a lot of those, along with Terrence Davis. It's clear that they want to develop that part of his game. And look, I've always said the weakest part of OG's game is that handle. And if you can develop that handle, then you can connect all the other parts of his offensive game. Right now, great cutter. He's great finisher in transition. He's really athletic. And he's a decent three-point shooter. If he has the handle, you can connect a lot of those things. You can suddenly work a couple of pick and rolls. You can maybe talk about a pick, a pull-up game. Again, this is a couple years into the future, but OG looked good, man. He looked good. And look, whatever, crossing up Zach Collins off an injury, it's not going to make SportsCenter top 10, but yeah, OG had some really nice plays, man, and I really liked the way he assisted, Pascal, especially in one play where, again, he drove against the closeout, got to the elbow area, stopped because he realized and he read the defense, and he was able to immediately realize that, okay, if this is where all the defenders are, one guy's behind me, who's open on the wing, immediately swung it back, pitched it back to Pascal, open for three, and Pascal hit that three, so I'm intrigued by OG, man. I'm always intrigued by OG. There's a lot of talent and skill there. And I just got to remind you that OG is younger than even a guy like Terrence Davis. Okay. There's time for him to develop. And again, a couple of drives here and there, like it's not the, it's not like, holy shit, he's going to turn into Kawhi, but I don't know, man. I mean, it's promising. That's for sure. Norm, so he had a good plus minus, he had plus 19, actually a game high, in 22 minutes, but it just feels like him with the bench unit right now is not fully clicking. I don't really like the type of shots he's getting. He's missing a couple of open shots too, which again, this is completely expected because it is, you know, after such a long layoff. But yeah, I just think that Norm could use just some more time with the starters just to get his rhythm a little bit, just to get him some easier buckets. You know, he, obviously we know he can score in transition. He's got the pull-up. He's got the catch-and-shoot game down pretty well, and he got one today where, honestly, Rip Hamilton style, man, coming off two screens, baseline, you know, maybe a foot or two inside the three-point arc, rise up, you know, contested, you know, still hit the jumper off an inbound play. I thought I was watching the 0-4 Pistons. But yeah, Norm, you know, 2-for-9 today, you know, 0-for-3, you know, it's just the first two games, Norm hasn't looked completely comfortable with the bench unit. And I think a lot of that just comes down to he's creating a lot more offense for himself. And that's not necessarily his strength. Obviously, when he's hot, sure, give him some touches, let him go to work. But as of right now, I still think he's better as a finisher. And I think, you know, when he played with when he played with Mark, looked a lot more natural, which again is normal. Of course, everyone's going to look good playing with playmakers like Kyle and Mark. But I just think, yeah, Norm is the guy who kind of relies on that more. I mean, I understand if they're trying to develop his pick and roll game. Definitely, I think that could be a big improvement. But as of right now, that's not fully his game. Boucher came in, did some Boucher stuff, you know, defensively was active. Had a couple of assists, especially there in the fourth quarter. Rondé, you know, as I tweeted on Twitter, Rondé exclusively plays basketball at a 45 degree angle. This guy, you know, his movement chart will look like an MC Escher painting. Like it's just, you know, it's strange, but it's weirdly effective. I don't know. I don't really feel like he's been playing a bad game. I think he's playing really well with the bench right now. I think his ability to handle, especially with the bench sort of being short on ball handling, creates another angle in which the Raptors can attack. He can usually get deep into the paint. And then maybe the defense makes a mistake and he can kick out. He's at 4 assists. He's a decent passer that way. But yeah, I thought, you know, run the defense. He hustles. He you know, makes a lot of great plays, connects to a lot of what the Raptors do defensively. So I liked his game. TD came in. this is what I like about TD's game, all right? 19 minutes off the bench, 10 shot attempts, all right? You know, he comes into the game, he's shooting that basketball, he's getting aggressive. He had 4 threes today, including back-to-back threes when he checked in the second half. And it's just, as a whole, it's just a joy to watch Terrence, man. I mean, he couldn't really get some of his layups to fall, but he did get to the rim a couple of times. Off the drive, off the dribble, which is impressive. I think that's another area of his game that I think he can grow, is working on his handle so he can get to the rim. But yeah, I mean, he missed 2 sort of makeable layups. Not a big deal. The 3-point shot, though, has been great for him. And yeah, it's just the energy he brings in immediately. It's like the bench has a different pace. And that's what you always want for your bench, right? Like a good bench is always one that plays fast, is active defensively, is great in transition, and is just able to sort of beat the other team in terms of energy. That's most great benches have the same thing, is just a lot more energy and a lot more athleticism. I think TD fits that perfectly. Matt Thomas, fantastic. 16 points in 19 minutes. I swear this isn't just propaganda, but yeah, man, he this guy can shoot. I don't know what else to say. Like, I like the fact that he got 7 3-point attempts off, because, you know, for Matt, he doesn't do that much else. Like, you know, he's surprisingly decent on the defensive glass, you know, has a bit of a handle, seems like he knows how to pass, and is a willing passer. But really, the way for Matt Thomas to get more effective as an NBA player is to get more aggressive as a scorer, because we know he can shoot. And so I like the fact that, you know what, off a high pick and roll from 30 feet, just like in game one, he'll pull it and he'll shoot that and he'll make it. And you know, leaning threes, stuff like that. He's a guy who can come in and he needs to get his attempts up. Like, it's no good for Matt Thomas to just come in and space the floor. It's good, you know, it helps, you know, it, whatever, but his main use in the NBA is getting shots off, okay? Like, we don't want a Jason Capono situation where he's a great three-point shooter, but he's only taking, like, 1 a game. You know, you want Matt to be able to get his offense, and I thought he's been more aggressive with his offense, especially with that bench unit in the two games, and I like seeing that. I like seeing him extend his range. I like seeing him pull off the dribble. You know, just keep going with that. And, you know, when he gets really hot, then, yeah, he can dart backdoor for, like, a little drive and gets fouled, or, like, a cut and gets a layup. You know, the guy you want him to sort of study and want him to replicate is, like, a guy like J.J. Redick. And yeah, I mean, that's what Redick does. Like, he hits a couple threes, and all of a sudden, you know, you're really overplaying him. You know, you're putting the top lock on him. You're playing him. You're overplaying him. He cuts back door, and all of a sudden, he's getting in for a layup because literally everyone is at the three-point line trying to run him off. And so I can see a little bit of that from Matt Thomas as well. Again, he's a clever player. He's a smart player. He works hard. He has a great attitude. I'm not surprised that he's been successful. And we even saw extended minutes for a guy like Paul Watson, right? Game one, we saw a lot more O'Shea Brissett. He didn't play today. Today, those minutes went to Paul Watson, the other two-way guy. He got in 15 minutes, played some good defense, had that dunk at the end. I like that he had his moment. Malcolm Miller had a driving layup, which is nice because I don't think I've seen him do anything other than hit threes. So it's good win, man. Good win. In terms of your three stars from this game, I got to say the first star is, for me, Serge Ibaka, 19 points, 6 rebounds. Listen, it's beyond the stats and all the importance of the game. I just like that he made a scrimmage so entertaining. Again, Serge is just so good as a guy who makes content. He even made a meaningless bubble scrimmage really fun by getting into this weird little scrap with Yusuf Nurkic, which, as much as I think Serge is definitely not someone to be messed with, Yusuf Nurkic doesn't seem like someone to be messed with. All right, I don't think I'd be wanting to be messing with 7-foot Bosnian dudes who just broke their leg and came back. But yeah, Serge, really got this game, cracking, and he played really well himself too. Again, 11 points in the third quarter. He gets my first star, just like he got in the first game. Second star, I'm giving that to, I'll give it to Matt Thomas. Why not, man? Matt Thomas, 16 minutes, all right, 16 points, all right, 5 of 8 shooting, 4 of 7 from 3, got the 2 free throw attempts in there, it's a little bit of that playmaking juice. Again, he played a little bit more shooting guard with Kyle Lowry, which is kind of nice, the nutcracker duo, back at it, making plays, being small, but also being a little overwhelmed defensively, but still, spacing the floor, being threats to shoot. I like the way Matt played tonight. I like the way he looked for his offense. I want to see more of that. And then third star, give it to Kyle Lowry. I mean, come on, man. Kyle's fantastic. 13 points, plus 18, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, a couple of BS calls, I'm sure a lot of trash talk. Just a great Kyle Lowry game. Didn't take a charge, but, you don't need to sacrifice your body to defend, guys like Jalen Horde or Wayne Gabriel, who was surprisingly active for a guy who was basically Chris Boucher's shadow. In terms of the lankiness and energy that he brought, as just a random dude that no one really knew what was going on with him. But in terms of your Gerald Henderson Award, respectfully, I'll give it to Yusuf Nurkic. He was really fantastic, man. I was really happy to see him, play well. Don't even mind the fighting with Serge, whatever. Who cares? Everyone fights with Serge. 17 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. He didn't shoot it that great, 1 for 5 from 3, but got to the free throw line 10 times. Really aggressive on the offensive glass and really, really able to impose himself defensively. And again, if Yusuf Nurkic had been healthy all year, the Blazers would not be in a position where they're basically treating a scrimmage game like it's their championship. Like, they'd be in the playoffs. Like, Yusuf Nurkic is that good. Remember, there was that game that he had like 20-20, 5-5 or something, and like another 5. It was some ridiculous stat line that he had in a game, shortly before he got the leg injury. So I like his game. I see a lot of Marc Gasol in his game. That being that big body, really strong guy, but also really light and nimble on his feet, plays defense, can pass, has scoring ability inside and out. So, all the best to Yusuf. I hope he's able to sort of pick up his game with Portland and do something with the team before, they flame out. So that does for the podcast. I mean, again, a really fun scrimmage. I don't think I'd be saying that. I know I'm a basketball addict anyway, but I promise you it was a really fun scrimmage. And it was worth talking about it for 30 minutes. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Big thanks to KFC for sponsoring the podcast. And I'll be back to recap the Raptors' next scrimmage. Hopefully it's half as exciting as this one.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.